certain Robert S. Mueller III of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the United States of America. Is what it said. Dear sir, good news for you from the FBI United States. We had a meeting with International Monetary Fund and Federal Government of Nigeria over your long overdue contract agreement, and we agree with them that your fund should not cost you anything because it is your money. Your fund, which is in the tune of $10.5 million. Well, Mr. Robert S. Mueller III of the FBI, you've got my attention. He goes on in his letter. However, you have only 2 working days to send this required delivery fee of $95 to FedEx or UPS Courier Company for delivering of your card. And if we don't hear from you with the payment information, the Federal Bureau of Investigation will not hesitate to cancel your payments. Kind regards. You know what this email is, right? What is it? It's a scam, isn't it? You've probably received this before. Hopefully you're all aware of this. It's called the Nigerian Prince scam because that's how it usually starts. It's one of many variations. This email has actually existed since email started. But this scam goes like something like this. Someone's in prison or they're unjustly kidnapped or exiled or something. They're rich, but they can't get to their money right now. That's where you come in. You could get a piece of that pie if you just help them access their money. Something like that. And you help them, they'll reward you once they're free. But of course, what actually happens is that they run off with your money, don't they? And you're left feeling like a sucker. Sadly, I've had a friend who fell for this before. He was robbed of tens of thousands of dollars. And so I'm really hoping that none of you have had to go through this or will go through this. But this is why, you know, we need to be very aware, don't we? We need to watch out. For example, you need to check that email address that you got it from. Does it come from like a Gmail account or something dodgy like that? You know, not that Gmail's dodgy, but you know, FBI probably doesn't use Gmail, right? You know, you check for spelling, grammatical errors, don't you? That's always a dead giveaway that something's wrong. You check the source. But what if one day there really was a Nigerian prince who really did pick you out and want to bless you with this opportunity? What if that was real? Have you ever thought about that? Not sure why someone would, but what if you were to receive that email and actually, oh my goodness, maybe this could be true. How would you make sure you didn't miss out? That's life-changing, isn't it? Well, in a nutshell, that's actually our dilemma with Jesus. I don't know if you realize this, but what he claims about himself in the scriptures, what he claimed about himself to his disciples, were claims that were just far too good to be true, really. And so you see throughout the Gospels, people, yeah, we believe you, Jesus, but actually, I'm not sure I take you all at your word. I understand some of it, and many people nowadays, they'll take bits and pieces of what Jesus says, but really, what you have to say, Jesus, is could that possibly be the truth? Listen to these claims he makes early in the Gospel of John. We just read Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're actually looking a little bit about his claims in chapter 10, where he's talking to his disciples long before the events of Easter. And these are the kind of claims he comes up with. For example, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He expands on this in many ways throughout the Gospels. But what Jesus is saying here is there are many, many people out there to scam you. There are many people who just want to take your money, who want to get your worth, want something from you. But Jesus is saying here, unlike every other worldview, unlike every other faith system, every other religious belief or lifestyle hack that you might find, which always overpromises and underdelivers, life with me, Jesus says, is never empty. It's not even just adequate. It's always full, abundantly full, overflowing. You know that feeling when you're chasing that thing, and once you get it, How do you feel? Absolutely fulfilled? No, actually. Just think about the last thing you've chased. Maybe it's that job that you've always desired, or that house you've wanted to move into, or maybe you just moved into Menangle and you knew of how wonderful, welcome to Menangle. And I assure you, despite how beautiful our countryside is right now, things don't last, do they? You'll move here, you'll settle in, you'll unpack your boxes, and eventually a year or two will go by and you'll go, this isn't the sea change that offered everything and delivered everything, actually. I had a friend who was into martial arts, and he chased after that black belt. He trained for years and years, dedicated his life to that craft of not just performing, but teaching, demonstrating. He got his black belt, and what did he feel? Empty, actually. He knew, actually, I was made for more. I was made for more than this job or this relationship or this family or this house. I was made for more. But Jesus is saying here, life with me never feels like that. Life with me, if you live with me, you will always feel satisfied. You will never go hungry. You'll be led into green pastures. Life with me is life that lasts. Life to the full. That's what we want, right? If you have me, he says, you have everything. No matter how you're going, what you're going through, how hard life gets, how much you've lost, who you've lost. No matter how much your body is falling apart, if you know Jesus, you have life. That's what Jesus is saying. We look at this claim and we think, it's just too good to be true, isn't it? It's just too good to be true. And so what do we do? Well, this is what most people do. We treat Jesus like every Nigerian prince. We think he's just another scammer. Yeah, sure, he's talking in hyperbole, isn't he? He says he can make our life better. Surely he can't mean fool. And so you discard his claims as junk mail. It goes into the spam folder of your mind. And you get on with the rest of your life, right? But meanwhile, you're always feeling this niggly sense of you are made for more. You have this dissatisfaction in life. There's always something that's not going your way. You want something better. And let me tell you, that is a great instinct to have. You were made for something better. And you might wonder why you feel this dissatisfaction. And this is where different people go in three different paths to solve this issue. What is the problem? Well, the first thing that people go to is, the problem must be with the people and the things around me. Because I've made it, so why am I not happy? I have that job, I have that relationship, I have that lifestyle. It must be that it's been the wrong relationship, the wrong job, the wrong lifestyle. Or I thought these things would bring satisfaction to me, and they don't. So it must be time for change. And we see people, right, who maybe you've tried this. You go jump from thing to thing to thing to thing, never content, because you were made for more. And you can't figure out, is it the people or the things? Or maybe the second direction people go in is, it must be a problem with me. This dissatisfaction I feel, this hunger I feel, is actually my fault because I haven't been successful enough. I haven't done the right thing. I haven't performed to the right standards. I've made some bad choices. You know, I should have never done what I did. I should have never chosen that job. I should have not trusted that person. What was I thinking? If only I'd done things differently. I'm such an idiot. Maybe that's where you go to. Or maybe it's a third thing you're thinking of. It must be a problem with the universe. That's the problem. Everything's broken. Look at the world. It's a mess. Bad things are always going to happen. You're the pessimist around us, or you might call yourself a realist. But look at COVID. Look at the world around us. Life is outside of our control. I used to think I could be happy. I was naive. I was idealistic. I had dreams. I had hopes and aspirations. But now I'll just settle. Because all of that's gone. I was just dreaming. I won't ever be truly happy, and I'm done trying. I wonder which one resonates with you most, one of those three. But in the midst of all this, someone comes along and tells us the problem is not with people and the things around us, the circumstances God's given us. It's not with me, or it's not with the universe. It's the fact that you don't have me, Jesus says. because I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. He says, with me, you will never thirst. With me, you will never hunger. It's just too good to be true, right? How do we trust him? How do we take him at his word? There are so many scammers out there. How do we know his credentials hold up? That he can actually fulfill his promises? Well, the key is what Jesus says right after what he says to his disciples in John 10. Let me read this to you. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. That's how he proves he can deliver. He says he is in charge. That's what he means by authority, isn't it? He's saying, I know of my death. This was a while before Easter, wasn't it? But he knew he was going to die. And it wasn't the case of a political victim, a guy in the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus meant to be there. That's a miracle of Good Friday, actually, that a righteous man would dare to go through that. But the other miracle is that Jesus meant to rise from the dead. That Jesus has power in and of himself. That he could have authority to raise his life up from the grave. Death has been defeated. God has conquered the grave. That's how he shows that he is in control. And if he can raise his own body to life, how easy is it to make our lives full as well? How easy it is to raise up us up from the dead. And so we go back to John 20 and we look at what John presents and Mary Magdalene discovered. I mean, we've got to think, is it true? Is it fairy tale? Is it legend? Or is it as I actually present it? Is this real? Could Jesus actually be onto something? Could Jesus be the one he says he is and offer us what he offers? Now, if you're here, you're probably not surprised that we believe that a man rose from the dead. Possibly, you don't even deny that. You might not be a follower of Jesus, but you might not even deny that the resurrection happened. You have no problem that a man rose from the dead. But yet somehow, it might not have made the impact that you would think it would make. You believe a dead man came back to life 2,000 years ago, and you would imagine that would shape the course of your whole life, and yet it's entirely possible for many of you here that that historical fact hasn't changed your entire world. And my guess is, if that's you, you haven't actually grasped the enormity of that historical fact, of what that says about Jesus and what that says about his ability to deliver on his claims. Because if he really did rise from the dead, and death has been defeated, life has won, Jesus has conquered, then what he's saying is true, and what you are doing now is missing out. I'm not just talking about eternity, but right now, because Jesus is offering life to the full. You are missing out if you don't have Jesus. That's what it comes down to. And I don't want you to miss out. Those of you here who love Jesus already, we don't want you to miss out. And we want to help you with your journey and kind of exploring these claims of Jesus. And we've got just the thing for you. Our church regularly runs a course called Hope Explored. And we're actually starting our next one next Sunday. We're going to run this for the next 3 Sundays. And I'd love to invite you to it. And I'm just going to show you a bit about what it's about through this video.
There are few emotions more powerful than hope. It's a spark inside you that brings a smile to your lips, a light that shows on your face, a feeling that lifts your head and pulls you forward. These days, hope like that often feels hard to come by. Maybe you've experienced your share of disappointments. But real hope is what the Christian faith claims to offer. A joyful expectation for the future, based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. Hope Explored is a 3-session series for anyone who is looking for a hope worth having. Whatever you do or don't believe, this is your invitation to explore, to discuss, to question, to discover. This is Hope Explored.
I don't want you to miss out. And whether you've been someone who've been in church for decades and you've realized Jesus' resurrection hasn't made that impact in your life, or whether you're just completely new and this is the first time you've heard of this, this is for you. And we want to invite you to this. You don't need to bring anything. You can bring your questions, you can bring your doubts, but you don't need to know anything. We won't ask you to do anything. The only thing I'd ask you to do is RSVP, because we have lunch for you. And for you guests, lunch is absolutely free. It's on us. But over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to be running this from noon to 1:30, right after our Sunday services. And I'd love for you to come and explore Jesus' claims. Let's finish with these words from Jesus. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so let me lead us in prayer that God might do that for you today. Father God, we thank you that you offer us life. Life to the full, life that lasts through Jesus. You know all the ways that we look for this life in all the wrong places. Forgive us for this. For thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, not to condemn us, but to save us. Not to stifle us, but to give us life, the life you intended for us, for now and for eternity. And so please help us to take you at your word. We ask for those among us who still don't know you and know this life, that you might turn their hearts to yourself so that we might all find green pasture and find this life we're looking for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.